There ought to be a moonlight saving time, so I could love that man of mine. Till the birdies wake and chime, good morning. There ought to be a law in clover time to keep that moon out over time, to keep each lover's lane in rhyme till dawning. You'd better hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, get busy today. You'd better croon a tune to the man in the moon, and here's what I'd say. There ought to be a moonlight saving time, so I could love that man of mine. Till the birdies wake and chime, good morning. So I could love that man of mine. Till the birdies wake and chime, good morning. There ought to be a law in clover time to keep that moon out over time, to keep each lover's lane in rhyme till dawning. You'd better hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, get busy today. You'd better croon a tune to the man in the moon, and here's what I'd say. There ought to be a moonlight saving, so I could love that man of mine. Till the birdies wake and chime, good morning. There ought to be a moonlight saving time, so I could say good morning.
Ottawa's Diana Leaney singing Moonlight Saving Time, a tune that goes back to the 30s. It's been sung by Maurice Chevalier, Guy Lombardo and his orchestra, Ray Anthony, Blossom Dearie. In each case, Moonlight Saving Time has sounded a little unique because of the voice delivering it, of course. And that art of making a song your own is a science in itself, according to Diana Leaney herself. Tomorrow night, she's going to be teaching a course at Carleton on the subject for people who might have no jazz or singing experience at all. Diana Leaney is here in studio to discuss the art of finding your voice in jazz singing. Hello there.
Hello, Alan. It's so nice to be here.
I, when you think of putting your own stamp on Moonlight Saving Time, what's the Diane Nalini twist?
That's a good question.
What will future scholars say?
Oh
you
God.
Can hear the Nalini here.
Well, the most important thing is to make sure that you're not trying to sound like anybody else. Otherwise, uh-huh. That's a problem, right? So I love that song, and when I was a little kid, I especially fell in love with the Blossom Dearie version. Uh-huh. So it was important not to sort of distance myself from that for a while and listen to other versions, and also change the tempo, change the key. Those are all things that can help you make sure you're not subconsciously channeling someone else. And really, the thing I always tell singers when I teach other singers is read the lyrics as if you were reciting the poem to a poem to a loved one. Like you're just trying to tell a story, and that can help you phrase it in a more natural way to you, kind of like an actor would put their own stamp on Hamlet's soliloquy or something like that. You know?
I mean, it's interesting the difference, though, there, because Blossom Dearie, for instance, has this incredibly distinctive voice, right?
Yes,
and
so
when,
girl
it, when
voice.
You when, yeah. na, na, and when you yeah. that is she sounds better than what I just did. But when you are learning a song by listening to Blossom Dearie,
yeah.
it must be very hard to not have that travel in. The difference between watching an actor perform a play, but then the next thing you have the text in front of you, which is, it is different from when you're first, the way we first pick up things, right?
And the important thing is to listen widely. So like when I was a kid, I've grown up listening to jazz since I was, you know, in the womb, basically. And I started singing jazz when I was 3. So I've had a lot of years, all those teenage years, to explore obsessively the way that only a teenager can kind of dive in obsessively. Yes. And so you have to, the important thing is to listen to many, many different versions of a song so that you know how, for a given jazz standard, how would Ella Fitzgerald do it? How would Nat King Cole do it? How did Nina Simone, Sarah Vaughan, all the greats, Frank Sinatra, all the great singers who have had such distinctive voices. That way you have enough out there that you're not in danger of falling into any traps.
And you have to almost know those voices in order to not mimic them.
Like,
you know what I mean? So
true.
That people don't turn around and say, you're just doing a Dinah Washington right now. You're actually
And it's also one of the reasons I love singing my own material. Like, I write a lot of music myself, and that's really fun because you know that no one else has sung it. In that case, it's something brand new and you're putting your fresh interpretation on it. Yes, that's right.
When the Crawl Covers Nalini album comes out, we will buy it for sure.
Oh, that's funny.
In this course, though, you're giving examples of those different singers playing a tune. So you're going to give us a few examples
here. Sure, yeah, I'd be delighted to.
I said she's got a very tiny guitar in front of her. So who are some of the musicians you tap into, the singers' voices?
Right, so for this particular lecture, for tomorrow night, one of the things I like to do is take the same standard and compare how different singers would do it. So, for example, today I've got my little ukulele here. I can do for you Baby Won't You Please Come Home, which is an old jazz standard from the early 1900s. And it was the very first time it was performed was by Bessie Smith. And she had to sing it quite high because, you know, her voice was high generally, but also it was before microphones were really perfected and the voice had to carry right above the band.
So I don't think of Bessie Smith as having a high voice.
No,
really.
One doesn't until you realize that. So for example, this tune, she did it in F, and Sarah Vaughan and everybody else that you can think of, like Ella Fitzgerald did it in B flat, Sarah Vaughan B flat, Billie Holiday did it in C. So to do it up in F is really high. Okay. So I'll do it in F just for the sake of doing it like Bessie. Baby, won't you please come home? Baby, won't you please come home? I have tried. To call your name. So you can see that's a really there's a plaintive quality to the voice. It's very loud and there's a real suffering in the voice, right? And I with apologies to Bessie Smith, I was definitely trying to sound like her there, but it was just to convey that suffering in her voice.
A fullness there too. And if I can say this, your facial expression takes on that sort of
the
Bessie Smith frown that I think people would be familiar with too.
Yeah, and it's you know, she did it pretty straight. I mean, it's syncopated, but it was a very sort of straight. I deliberately didn't swing it too much because she didn't swing it too much when she first recorded it. So if we fast forward now to the 40s, to the way that Nat King Cole did this song with his trio, his famous Nat King Cole trio. Now I'm going to take, he did it in F. I'm going to take it down to B flat because he does some beautiful things with his voice, which I need to do in my own key, which
another
is
another important lesson.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is the Nat King Cole, me trying to do channel Nat King Cole. Baby, won't you please come home? I'm so all alone. I have tried in vain, never more to call your name. Ooh, when you left, you broke my heart. You said that we'd never part. But every hour in the day, you will hear me saying, baby, won't you please come home? Papa speaking, Mama, come on home. So you can see that sort of that mellowness in his voice, and that just that. I mean, I'm not swinging the way his wonderful guitarists could swing, but you know what I mean. Like it had that swing quality to it.
And it's funny how the lyrics suddenly take on this casual nature.
Yes,
right? where suddenly he made you feel she probably is going to come home.
She's probably going to come home to me. Who can resist
Bessie
me?
Smith.
I'm not.
Right, you're not coming home.
That's right. You're right. You're absolutely right. There's a smile in his voice for sure.
Yeah.
And if we look at the way that Sarah Vaughan did this song, there's not just a smile in her voice. There's sass in her voice. There's mm-hmm. that sensualness. And do you want me to try it the way Sarah did?
Sure.
Okay. Baby, would you please come home? 'Cause your mama's all alone. I have tried in vain. Never no more to call your name. When you left, you broke my heart. Because I never thought we'd part. But every hour in the day, you will hear me say, baby, baby, won't you come home?
So- I think I know what they're coming home to. Okay, so it is, again, a different interpretation,
totally
right?
Like different. And her phrasing is very different. She's playing with the... And, of course, the wonderful Barney Kessel was on guitar on that recording, mm-hmm. and she's playing off of him. So when he does, every hour in the day, you will hear me say... You know, they're answering each other. There's this beautiful flirtation going on between the voice and the guitar.
Which has got to be part of the lesson of finding your voice, too, is knowing the dialogue
Absolutely.
With whoever else you're playing with.
It's so important to be listening really with huge ears to the musicians that are playing with you. And I'm sure that sort of thing would be something they probably would have worked out in rehearsal because it came out so beautifully. But there are other things that might not come out right away that are just spontaneous during the recording. And, you know, so I love to listen carefully when I'm playing with, let's say, a saxophonist and they play a little riff. Like if I'm scatting on a blues, you know. You know, like that sort of thing where if the saxophonist is going, then I might answer, you know, like just like have a little conversation on stage with the musicians. And that's part of what makes jazz so unique is that you're singing the song differently every night. And part of the reason it's different every night is you don't know what's going to happen. The musicians might play, or there might be something the drummer does that goes tick, 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 tick. And then you just think, oh, I'm going to sing that back and sing that rhythm back, you know?
Now, we're basically at the end of our show here. Do you want to scat our end theme for us today?
Oh my God.
If Doug is okay delivering traffic over top of...
Someone needs the traffic music.
Well, if you play the traffic music, I can scat along to it.
Oh, there's no official track music. I just didn't know if you wanted to play it. No pressure.
Actually,
whatsoever.
I can scat something blues.
Okay.
How about
go for it.
Okay.
Diane Nalini is an Ottawa-based jazz singer. Tomorrow evening, she's giving a one-night course at Carleton called The Art of Jazz Singing. And you'll all sound just like her at the end of it. It's happening from 6 to 8 p.m. Admission is $30 and spaces are limited. We will tweet out a link with more information. Over to Dougie Hempstead on traffic.
Thank you very much. Well, I got a call from Mike, actually. It's not great news. There's a collision on the eastbound 174 10th line. Roll over there as well. Both directions are affected. Paramedics are there. Backed up to Place d'Orléans. The westbound 417 still busy from the Museum of Nature to the fireside of Woodruff. Westbound Sir John McDonald Parkway backed up at Island Park. Northbound Island Park is also busy. Headed towards the Champlain Bridge. That bridge is busy. So too is the Chaudière. I'm back tomorrow in Ottawa morning shortly after 6 a.m.
Thank you, Doug. And tonight, partly cloudy. Fog patches developing after midnight, a low of 0. Wednesday, 40% chance of showers late in the afternoon, a high of 9 and UV index 2 or low, a low of -4. And Wednesday night, cloudy periods with a low of -4. That wraps things up for All in a Day on CBC Radio 1. You got 10 more seconds. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. I'm Alan Neal. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.